talking about the importance of us being ready to accept the new things that Jesus has for us. We've been challenged to make necessary changes and make necessary decisions to move forward in the new things that God has for us in this new chapter that we call 2025. If you're tired of the same old story, as we said every week this month, turn some pages. Now that sounds like it's everything that we're tired of is easy to get away from. No, but there has to be a decision that we make that we're not going to settle for the same old, same old. We're reminded in Isaiah 43:19, for I, this is God speaking, about to do something new. See, I've already begun. I love that he challenges us to see things from his perspective. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And we all want something new. But so often we forget our part in that. We have got to be ready for it. We need to make ourselves ready for the new. Matthew 9:17 reminds us that nor is new wine put into old wineskins, that is, they've lost their elasticity. Otherwise, the wineskins would burst and the fermenting wine spills and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins so that both are preserved. Now, if you've been here or maybe even watched online, you know that we've had four lessons that we are concluding today. Lesson one would remind us that we are to seek God's kingdom first. Lesson two, letting go of the past. Easier said than done, I understand that, but it's a decision that you make. Lesson three, live by faith and not by sight. Today, lesson four. First things first, even though we walk, God is with us when hard times come. I don't know how many times I've talked with people that are going through a hard season, and I've pointed them to the passage that Pastor AJ shared. I'll probably read it at a different version. But this Psalms 23 is so important for us to grasp. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the paths, bringing honor to his name. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you, God, you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Probably one of the most recognizable passages in the Bible. Psalms 23 is a poem about how David saw God's hand of provision throughout his life, whether it was in the field watching sheep, whether it was on the battlefield facing Goliath, whether it was dealing with family issues, whether it was simply just the ebb and flow of daily life. God was actively involved in his life. The passage was written at about 1000 BC, probably when he was about 30 years old. He was king. And even though David wasn't perfect, he made his share of mistakes. He saw the hand of God intervene throughout his life. Actually, one of his biggest failures with Bathsheba happened years after writing this poem. So we see that the enemy was constantly trying to mess him up, as he is with us. This poem not only uncovers David's pain and loneliness and weakness and wandering and failings, his humanness, but it also shows us his desperate need for God. It shows God's strength. It shows God's protection. It shows God's love and care. It shows David's hope in God, and it shows David's faith in God. And more than anything else, it underscores the unconditional faithfulness of God. The facts are that the enemy doesn't want us to know any of that. The enemy, the one that desires to kill, steal, and destroy us, wants us to think that God is not big enough for our needs, that God doesn't care about us, that God won't forgive our mess-ups, that God doesn't love us. See, God is compared to a shepherd throughout scriptures. In fact, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. I want us to think about the attributes of a shepherd for a moment. A shepherd is one who herds, feeds, guards, and protects the sheep that he's responsible for. It's actually one of the oldest professions in the world. Sheep were, and still are, by the way, a valuable commodity. Even now, many farms and ranches rely on the raising of sheep as a main source of income, as means to manage vegetation, as means to build healthy soil, as means for wool production, as means for tick management, as a lawnmower, as show animals. And that was new to me. I'd never seen a sheep in a show before, but there are some that are raised as show animals and even as pets. When the owner sends out the shepherd and the sheep, he has full confidence that the shepherd is going to look after them no matter what happens, because they're valuable to him. So what are some shepherd traits? A good shepherd is alert. He's wise, strong, he's caring, he's quick, he's thinking ahead, he is anticipatory, he is watching out what could happen. Case in point, there's a certain kind of worm that is a common enemy to sheep. It'll take them out if you're not paying attention. These worms enter through the nose of the sheep, and if they're left unbothered, it bores their way to the brain, thus bringing a fatal disease and sickness. Their whole goal is to reach the brain and to kill that sheep. Now, when these worms start their journey to the brain, they cause discomfort all along the way, and therefore the sheep will go to the fence, and they'll start banging their heads against the post to dislodge the worms. A good shepherd knows what this means and immediately comes to the rescue. He will take that sheep and do what is necessary to deworm them, to get them rid of this threat. Therefore, not only saving their life from the suffering and potential death, but protecting the investment for the owner. See, shepherds are charged with the task of always having a watchful eye on the sheep. No earthly shepherd is perfect, but God is the perfect shepherd. And we're so much more valuable to him than sheep are. We've got a house that we pass a lot, and this is a goat, it's not a sheep. But they have fenced in, now this is in the middle of the city, they have fenced in their yard for their goats. I can't believe that. But they are valuable to them. And I want you to think about how God sees us. He will fence in a place for us in the middle of where it may not make sense for your protection. Matthew 6, 25 through 30 said, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he certainly will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" We need to be confident that God is going to take care of us. Listen, I fully realize that many times the mess that we found ourselves in is a lot more complicated than just turning a page and it's over. But there is great power in trusting the shepherd. Listen to the psalmist in Psalms 46, "God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans foam and roar. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble." That verse could be written today. "The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. And the Lord of heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come and see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and the snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. He has built a better pen for us to be protected in than this neighbor that we see that has goats in the middle of the city. I want you to understand how faithful God is. Moses writes this. It's another confidence builder about the shepherd. Psalms 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I declare this about the Lord. He's alone my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Think about that. His promises are our armor and protection. That's the report that we're going to believe. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, or the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, and though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, he will make the Most High your shelter. No evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord said, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. And when they call on me, I love this, you'll never get a busy signal. You'll never go on to call waiting. You'll never get a delay. I will answer you. And I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Wow. That's the shepherd that is looking out for us. Now, I don't know what you're facing today, but I want to encourage you to start seeing Jesus as the good shepherd. You might be fearful, you might be weak, you might be suffering, you might be aimless, you might be in need, you might be sinking, you might be at the end of your rope, you may be beating your head against the fence post, but your issue is not too big for God. The enemy wants you to think that God is not your solution. The enemy wants you to think that this is going to be the death of you, the ruin of you. But that's not what the report of God says. Listen to Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work, where? Within us. This is stuff that we have as a believer. This is what we have access to. See, the answer to anything wrong in your life is Jesus. It's always been Jesus, and it will always be Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd, the one that cares for you, the one that fights for you, the one that protects you, the one that provides for you, the one that builds you up, the one that heals you, the one who leads you, the one who guides you, the one who is always there, the one who will never leave you, the one that foresees and anticipates your every need, the one that loves you, warts and all, bad day and all, on your very worst day. God loves you. The shepherd is going to protect you even when you blow it, even when I blow it. And listen, we all fall short. We all need Jesus. And every time I fall short, it reminds me once again how very much I need him. Psalms 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry, and you are filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. That's the report you need to believe. 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And forever means forever. His faithful love endures forever. Jeremiah 31:3. Long ago, the Lord said this to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With your unfailing love, I have drawn myself to you. The great shepherd has drawn himself to us. Now, Paul writes this in Romans 8:38 and 39, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. That means his love will never end. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love that is revealed, that God, a love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul gives us great hope in Ephesians 3:18 and 19. And you may have the power to understand, as all people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be able to be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. See, there's nothing in your life that God can't handle. There's nothing in your life that God can't fix. There's nothing in your life that God can't restore. There is nothing in your life that God can't heal. Think about that. If we really believe this, when something comes at us, we believe that report. We don't believe the one from the enemy. We believe what God says. God will never fail us. God's word is forever. And God will never remove his love from you. That's how we prosper in the things of God. Anytime that there is an environment of love, people prosper. But think about the inventor of love. When you're in the environment of that love, which is better than anything the world has ever come up with, think about how the church, the body of Christ, will prosper. Psalms 23, in closing, I want to remind you this. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you, God, you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live, some versions say, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages. Keep the first things first and seek God's first, God's kingdom first as you live for him in this new year. Keep first things first and let go of your past and let God do something new as you live for him in this new year. Keep first things first and live by faith, not by sight. And by that I mean I want you to expect God's faithfulness when you can't see it as you live for him in this new year. And finally, keep the first things first. And even though we walk through difficult times, God is with us as we live for him in this new year. Isaiah 43:19, for I am about to do something new. See? Now this is a challenge. We love to hear that first part. But it's going to take something from us. We need to begin to see those things that God has. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. 2025 is going to be a banner year for the kingdom of God in this earth. I believe that. And it's going to take God's people grabbing hold of his report and moving forward with it. It's going to cause us to be able to rest. It's going to make sure, we need to make sure, that we rest as confident as a sheep is with the shepherd looking out for them, fully knowing if we get into a little bit of trouble, there's some indicators that'll show the shepherd, and our great shepherd will come running for you. In fact, he'll watch for that return like the prodigal son. Before the son was even had turned around, the father was watching. That's a shepherd. Jesus knows what you're dealing with. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what's been done to you. Jesus knows how you've been treated. So whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report of those that don't care what happens to you? Or are you going to believe the report of the one who loves you inside and out? See, our God loves us so much. While we were still in sin, he sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins so that we wouldn't have to. That is a great shepherd. And he is watching you. And he's built this fence that keeps you separate. And sometimes we get smart and we climb that fence and we find out it's not so good on the other side. If those goats got on the other side of this ugly fence that they built, in the middle of the city, there'd be trouble for the goat. It would be goat soup on the street. So often we feel these parameters that God has us to live within, and we see that as punishment, but it's protection. Is it impossible to get over there? No, you can get over there if you want to. If you want to walk away from God, you can walk away, but he's going to be watching for your return. Because he's loved you with an everlasting love, and that means that love will never stop. See, there's some people that we kind of like, and then they do us wrong, and we really don't love them, so we can just cut them right out of our life. God can't cut you out from his heart. He loves you. He created you in his image, and he's got a great plan for your life, and he doesn't want the enemy's messing with you to cause you to doubt the love of the shepherd. Whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of the culture? Or will you believe the report of the one who loves you unconditionally and has a great future for you and will use you in ways that you never thought possible? You know, one of the most important prayers you can pray is, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Those words are kind of easy to say, but to walk it out, you're going to be faced with things that are going to be bigger than you are, but you're not limited to your own strength. You need to see things from God's perspective. You need to take his report that he's going to use you, and he's going to use you impossibly in the dark valleys. He's going to use you when things aren't going so good. Whose report will you believe? Will you let this culture mold and make you? Or will you let the shepherd that is a potter that is forming us, molding and making us, fashioning us, the Bible says, after his will. He knows what you and I, as a lump of clay, that lump of clay that he throws onto the wheel, he knows what it's going to look like when he finishes. A great shepherd knows. And he's going to do everything he can to protect, care for, nurture, and guide so that that sheep fulfills its calling. How much more will he do that for you? He loves you. You can't make him not love you. You can do some stuff he doesn't like, but it never will take away his love for you. His love never fails. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.